We have some amazing guests. And with us today, we have Tracy Cooley, the executive director of the Detroit Bar. Tracy, it's an honor and a privilege to have you with us. You're the executive director of the Detroit Bar Association that does so much work, but probably gets confused with other places out there in the world. Welcome to Behind the Bench. It's great to have you. Tell us, Tracy, what are you working on today with the Detroit Bar Association?
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. Yes, we do get confused with the Attorney Grievance Commission and the Judicial Tenure Commission. We do get a lot of calls and emails complaining about judges and lawyers, and nope, we do not do that. In fact, we help the community with legal services through our pro bono clinic and our access to justice. We provide programming and legal resources to our membership, who comprise of judges, lawyers, and law students. We also provide networking opportunities, mentor opportunities in the form of events and galas. And, we try to do the best for our membership and the community to make an impact, to provide to provide opinions and resources on sometimes the judicial candidates that are running. We want to be able to provide the community an idea of, you know, what is a judge's responsibilities? What are they supposed to be doing? What should they be looking for when they go out and vote? That's one of the areas in which a lot of our community members don't really keep up with. They keep up with maybe local elections, but not so much with judicial. And the judges really make an impact on people's lives, especially at the district level. So we try to do everything we can to provide education to the community, to our membership, and give back through any way we can through days of service and our pro bono clinics.
I got to tell you, we talk about it a lot on the show, and we have judges all the time that come on. And one of the things that our community, I think, just because it's not out front and center and there's not enough publicity on district court judges and circuit court judges and court of appeals judges, even our Supreme Court for the state of Michigan, we don't get enough. The community at large. You're speaking to a large group, over 100,000 people right now listening to this program, and you'd be. I'm sure you're not, but it's amazing to me how many people don't know who they're voting for, why they're voting for that particular person. So, the fact that you know, as an executive director and the body of people, I'm a part of the association, and I just look around the room and I see such great power of amazing lawyers, amazing people, a part of the group, but it just doesn't seem to me anyway that we get a big enough message necessarily to the public at large. And kudos off to you and making that work. I'm looking at your background and you standing up for the rights of citizens, immigration work, human trafficking work in your past of fighting for and fighting against, obviously, that peril. Give us a little bit of your history, your background of what you've been spearheading and championed in the legal profession.
Yeah. To show my age, I've been practicing since the 90s, and I was one of the first.
You're young. Trust me.
Well, I actually started out in immigration, and when the Soviet Union broke up and all the countries were basically all the resources were taken and they were left with nothing. Some of the families were selling their daughters. Back in the day, there was advertisements in newspapers.
Oh my gosh.
And so Americans were basically doing these mail order brides. And so they would be bringing people over from Ukraine and Poland and Czechoslovakia and Yugoslavia of those days. And so I would be called in to help get their status and things of that sort. And I always made sure I maintain a relationship with the woman who came through, and I started getting calls of abuse. And in those days, we didn't really call it human trafficking. And so I was able, through the Violence Against Women's Act, start filing petitions to allow them to stay and remove the U.S. citizen from their petition, get their passports back, and get their status in order, which led me to start looking into seeing that there was issues locally, started advocating with our state legislature here for bills. I was part of 21 bills that passed back in 2014. That Governor Snyder signed in, defining human trafficking, helping those that were brought in this country and being abused and through labor and sex trafficking, and just really was able to combine my passion for serving to help those that were not born here and those that are abused here. And that led me to the Detroit Bar, actually, eventually, because one of my goals is I love to provide legal services for those who can't afford it. And there's this huge gap, especially in Detroit, of those who do not qualify for legal aid, but still cannot access quality and affordable legal services.
Right.
So with the Detroit Bar, we're one of my initiatives is we're expanding our pro bono clinic to low bono clinic so that we can start providing actual representation to those in the community who need high quality and low cost services. So it kind of all comes together for me. It's all it doesn't matter, really what the ethnic group or sex or anything. All matters to me is somebody's in need. I want to be there to try to provide that gap.
That's awesome. The fact that you're part and the executive director of the Detroit Bar, I couldn't imagine a better person for the position, especially bringing in today. I mean, think about what's going on today with regards to immigration. I can only imagine how ugly certain cases are. Spearheading that particular area of law, that field of law, so apropos if we look at the world for which we live in right now. Can you stay with us for an extra couple minutes?
Sure, yes. Thank you. Yes, I definitely can.
Absolutely. We'll be right back with Behind the Bench just after this.